podcastjuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Michael Dean Show. Welcome to Work It Like a Job. Welcome to Podcast Juice. Welcome to your favorite podcast that is always here for you. Joining me today is Mr. Q-Storm. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing okay. It's a little past my bedtime, but, you know, it's all good.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Keep you up too late, old man.
See, there you go.
But also joining us is Mr. Big Sexy and Sack. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Got a little humble pie in court today, but I recovered brilliantly because that's what I do.
There you go, man. There you go. And one of the things I want to talk about today, I'm going to sort of break protocol. But I'm not going to drop names or anything, but there was something came up on a, let's just say, on an online chat among Playboys.
Uh-oh.
And it was good stuff. And, you know, one of the things that happened was something good happens in your life. And, of course, we celebrate that. And, you know, sometimes you feel like things aren't going right in your life. And, you know, you go through ups and hardships. That's life, right? We all go through our stuff, you know. But one of the things I was thinking about today, I was riding the bus home because that's what I do. And I was thinking of, what was I saying? Manifesting and recognizing. And I thought, man, we got to, when you want stuff in life, when things are happening, you're like, you know, there's a, you know, sort of a mindset of saying that you can manifest the things that you want to happen in your life. And that can be through a number of ways, right? You can speak it into existence. You can pray about it. You can work towards something, you know, manifest something you want by putting in the work, which is a lot of, you know, I always preach that all the time. And then the other part, I was like, we also got to recognize the shit we already got going on. You know, the opportunities that we may have, or we got to recognize some of the bullshit that's going on too. Like we got to recognize it either way, whatever it is. You got to be cognizant of what's going on in your world so that you can either fix it or celebrate it or whatever it is, right? And so I started thinking, like, okay, what's going on in my situation that I need to manifest? And somebody's typing, so you can either
that was me, sorry.
Mute your mic or something. So he manifesting the typing sounds. But I'm recognizing that shit is loud. See?
Big Sexy, you always be doing it. You know what your mute button is, right? I'm just saying.
Are you getting pulled again?
Damn.
$100 fine. Doc. But, so what are you going to manifest something that's going on? And, you know, for one, I know one of the goals or things I want to be successful, let's say, at podcasting, right? I want to be successful in life. I want to be successful in relationships that I have with whoever they are. I want to be a successful dad. You know, so these are things that I try to manifest, I speak about, I pray about. I need to learn how to do this. Let me go study this so that I can manifest that to happen later, that I have the skills to do whatever it is I'm trying to do. The other part, again, I look at the recognizing. Well, what can I recognize? I recognize that I'm blessed to have my health. You know, just the basics. Because without that, I couldn't do nothing. Not to say I couldn't do nothing, but I would definitely be impaired if I couldn't get up and get around. Or if I was sick all the time. You know, would I be able to keep the schedule that I keep? The people in my life I have to recognize. I have to recognize that I know Q-Storm. And the wealth and knowledge and skills that he has that I have access to. Right? Big Sexy. I recognize he's a lawyer. He's a damn good lawyer. He's got a lot of knowledge. His life is totally different than mine. I may need that help sometimes, or I need to recognize I have access to this brother right here, right? Same thing with Q, same thing with Aunt Pooh, Sean Hill, and a lot of other people that have come through me doing this show or meeting them online. I recognize I got this circle of people that are dope, that are resources, that are scholars, that are mentors, you know what I'm saying, that I can pull things from or bounce stuff off. So I'm not out here by myself. You know, I might need help one day. Man, let me call up Q. And I've done that. Q would tell you. He might not want to tell you. But I mean, I got some hard times. And, you know, somebody can get, oh, man, I can give you a word and tell you to keep your head up. Or, you know, like Jesus said, listen, just feed him right now. So his food to me, yo, I'll break you off right now. That's, you need to get that, take care of your situation. But that's a recognizing. A lot of people don't have that. So I take that for granted, but I'm not taking it granted. A lot of people don't have people they can reach out to when they in struggle. Or they don't have the ego's too high. Sometimes I have to work on. I got to learn to ask for help. So I recognize that. I say all that to say, and we'll open it up. And you hear Gracie out there. I recognize she out there having a good time, screaming and hollering. But we got to recognize who we got access to. We got to recognize what we got going on in our life. Some of us might be going through some hard times, but man, we might have more free time than we normally do. You know, I got access to the internet and I got a working computer. I can build something with this. You know what I'm saying? Recognize the tools that you got. Recognize how much time you may or may not be spending on it. And then you can change it. Then you can manifest something better. You want to manifest freedom? Okay. Or you want freedom? This is what you can do to get it. You got access to a lot of shit that some people don't, or we all got access to it, but do we all recognize the value of what we have access to? Last thing I'm going to say, and this is the great thing about Prince that has really come to me in the last, since he's died. And I knew this before, but now I really start to see it and I'm taking it to heart. Excuse me. This dude, he recognized and manifest everything around him, right? He wasted no time. He stayed about his work. His life was his work. He made his work his life. I was listening to Dougie Fresh. Great interview with Dougie and Stephen A. Hill, the guy who runs BET. And Dougie is telling the story how he joined the MPG and how he met Prince. And Prince said, yo, you want to be in the group? And just talked about what that was like and what Dougie brought to the game. He talked about, man, we would go into a city. He talked about the Essence Festival. He said, man, Prince, he had me meet him at a club. Prince was sitting in the room by himself in the back of the club. Club was packed. Prince was back there by himself on a chair in the middle of the room sitting by himself. Dougie walked in and said, Dougie, let's talk about this Essence show. What should we do? What do you think I should do, Dougie? How should we do the show? And Dougie put in his, oh, okay, you got to do it like this, man. This is what we should do. Da, da, da. So, okay, we go and rehearse for 3 hours, go change, go to the arena, do the show 2 hours, go back, change, go to the after club, do a show for 3 hours, then go in the back room. They got the videotape set up of the show you just did. And then school starts. Oh, you see what you could have did right there. Oh, you see what you did there. Yeah. Oh, that did. And then go right back on the bus or the plane and got to be in the next town in 3 hours to do it all over again. But he recognized that was his work. That he was dedicated to that. So he didn't waste no time playing around with it. You look at the lifestyle. You know, a lot of cats balling out of control. I gotta get this car. You ever see Prince balling out of control with cars and all this. He was balling out of control. Well, he had a few little things.
The yellow BMW.
And he gave that away.
Yeah, he did.
Right? You didn't really see him flossing out with the newest this and that and the other. You saw him flossing out with the newest piano or the newest guitar.
Well, you saw him flossing out with the newest chick, too.
He kept a man keep a bad one around because he recognized beauty and he recognized that booty. Hey, and that was his muses. So he didn't play around with things that would mess up his thing, right? He stayed on his business. He still stayed about that music. 40 years, 30 years in the game. And he didn't even have to do it. But my point is to say is he recognized and he manifested Paisley Park, right? He manifested all that stuff. So I'm just saying. Please go ahead. I feel like I'm a preacher or something. Please.
Well, here's the thing. I don't disagree with anything you said. I would say this.
Yes, sir.
I think about Michael and I think about Prince.
Talk to him.
And part of me feels sorry. This is going to sound crazy, given that they were multimillionaires, but part of me feels sorry for the both of them and people in their position because I think their examples, I'm not going to knock that work ethic, but I think there were also examples of needing more moderation in life.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can work yourself to death. No, that's a wrong word. That's a wrong way to put that. You can work yourself hard and, you know, you could do a show at 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock, then go for an hour and then do a show from 12 to 5 in the morning and then go to sleep for 4 hours. But I mean, I think human nature is such that there needs to be more balance where I think Michael and Prince, I think he was sad that he never had any children. You know what I mean? Or what his situation was that he never.
Well, he didn't try.
Give up a lot for that.
See, that's another great. I'm glad you said that. There is sacrifice in anything you do, right? There has to be sacrifice. Now, when you talk about Prince in terms of like, and I'm kind of getting, you know, do they have to have like a family? You know, do they miss out on certain things? Well, you know, Prince, I would say this for all that we know. Obviously, he was married twice. The opportunity, you know, they tried to have a kid. We know how that happened. But I look at it this way. He did what he wanted to do. And he didn't seem, I don't know him personally, but he did not seem that he was unhappy with his choices. And he probably understood that there are, you know, like anything, there's cause and effect, there's good, there's bad that comes with it. But I will say one thing about Prince, and I'm sure Michael falls into this too, that as we're also starting to see how deeply spiritual or religious Prince was. So I think his balance was to, yeah, I'm this superstar and da, 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 but that ain't enough for me. I need something for myself because I have answers. And so he turned to, in his case, he went to Jehovah's Witness and dove into that, which probably gave him something for his soul. You know what I'm saying? Something that was like, I need some sort of ceiling or I need, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just a man. I can't be the world. I still have to answer to something. So I feel like he had that balance, but that for his lifestyle, that was his thing. And again, he made a sacrifice. I do believe he gave his life to do music because that's all he did. But I think that was him saying, this is what I am. He used to say, I am music. And so I think he was the walking embodiment of, you know, his lifestyle. It may not be the lifestyle for me or for you, for anybody else. But for him, I don't think he did nothing he didn't want to do. It seemed like he always fought to do exactly what he did. And just focus on doing music. You all right?
Yeah.
Damn, Q.
I'm fighting ants over here, man.
Uh-oh. Manifesting and recognizing the ants. But yeah, man. I mean, we all like look at Big Sexy, accomplished lawyer. I'm sure, you had to make some sacrifices to go to school.
Oh, yes.
And to learn. Now you dealing with the payoff. He puts you in a certain position. Where now, okay, I did the work on this. I got this, and now I can go do other things. You have other opportunities. You recognize what you do. You manifest certain things. I'm sure you don't take for granted of the position that you are in right now. Maybe you do. I don't know, but
hey,
because you could be driving a Prius. I'm just joking.
Oh, see,
I should joke.
That's my sacrifice. You know?
There you go.
I actually rode in a Prius this weekend for my Uber driver.
Oh, there you go. How did that feel?
Didn't care for it.
Uh-huh.
A bit snug.
Well, you are Big Sexy. Damn. Now check this out. Like, we're all talking about, well, you know, maybe we can meet up in Minneapolis for a vacation or something. You know, I'm going to Hawaii next month, this and that. And did you ever hear of Prince or any of these stars talking about, maybe it's in this paparazzi driven culture, I would expect to know this, but you ever hear about them saying, oh, we're taking 2 weeks in, you know, Bora Bora, or, I mean, you know what I'm saying? When did they ever enjoy the fruits of their labor? That's what makes me.
Right.
Well, I would love to have all that money, but it just makes me feel so ironically sad for them, because they can never be out in public. They can never enjoy themselves. How do they go on vacation? When do they share what's the word you use? Enjoy the fruits of their labor.
But I think Prince did enjoy the fruits of his labor, right, because he was doing exactly what he wanted to do. And a lot of creative types, as long as they have that outlet for their creativity, they are blissfully happy. You know, no one made him. When he got his creative freedom, when he got free from Warner Brothers, it's like, okay, I'm taking a huge risk here, but I'm doing things on my schedule. And, you know, he didn't take that lightly. He wanted to put his music out, get out when he could. He wanted to create, and then he got to a point where he would play at Paisley whenever he felt like it, and people would show up. And he said in interviews that he stays in Minneapolis, or he stayed in Minneapolis, because nobody would bother him. He could go about his business pretty much. You know, I think he was very content. I wouldn't say happy, because I obviously didn't know the man, but I never got a vibe of unhappiness or discontentment off him at all when he achieved that.
Yeah, I think you got, again, he wasn't working a job. So he's not going to take a vacation from his life. Right. That's what we got to remember. He's not doing this because he doesn't want to do it. He said his joy is to play music and to play live, which is what he did. Right. He continued to tour. He continued to make music. That was the fruits of his labor of amassing, you know, to enough success where it didn't matter whether or not people bought it or if he was at the top of the charts. Right. I guess you could say around the world in a day, which we're like, shit, don't matter no more. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do, whether y'all feeling it or not.
Exactly.
And I think, again, so when you say, well, did they take a vacation? You know, you have to ask yourself, how do you take a vacation from your life? Because he's not going to something that he didn't want to do. And he's flying all over the world. And you make a great point Mark, you stayed in there. This is a guy who had these big mansions in different parts of the world, but he chose to live in Paisley Park, right? It wasn't because he was sad to be there, because everything I like and love is right here. Like, why? I'm not desiring that mansion. I want to go down in the studio, man. Or I want to make something here. Or I want to go fly these chicks. You know what I mean? Like, everything is, I'm home. I got it all. This is the things I value and care about. I don't need to take a break from this. This is, I guess, somebody said, Mike, you just can just podcast and play video games. You want to take a vacation? For what? What do I need to take a vacation for? I love this shit. You might have to tell me this. You know, Prince, what did Prince remember when he got married? What did he say? He said, when I was with Maite, she wanted me, I needed to go in the studio rehab.
Yep.
Because I'll just sit here and do this all day. But I have a wife now. Like, let me fall back a little bit from everything I want to do all the time and share something with somebody else's situation. So I think that he was happy in what he did. I would think Michael was probably happy making music. That's what he did. That was his life work.
If you think about it, Prince living at Paisley isn't anything that anyone should be shocked about, because if I recall correctly, he recorded 1999 at his house. All that equipment, you know, he did it all in the house. So that's what his thing. You know, he'd go to sleep for a couple hours, you know, wake up ready to go back to, and it wasn't work, I wouldn't call it work, but ready to go back in the studio and get that music out. And that's what he, you know, did. His career allowed him to build, you know, a gigantic complex where he could just go in there and do his thing. You know, and this is not a burn on Mike, so no one give me the look. Mike wanted Neverland, which is fine. Prince wanted a big-ass studio, which is also fine. You know, that's what where he enjoyed himself the most.
Yeah, I mean, they both got and did what they wanted. And I guess it's hard, not hard, but it's just different because normally for us civilians, you know, we don't have that sort of opportunity to actually have exactly what we want, not have to answer for it, right? And not have to feel ashamed about it. So it's like, maybe you could do that. No, this is what I'm going to do. Now you got to look at Prince again. I know Mike was the same way. Now you see he was giving out all this money to different situations, right? So again,
and he kept it on the low too, man.
That says a lot. That says a whole lot. Because a lot of cats want to be known for, oh, I did this and I did that. Again, he's not playing the whole look at me attitude. He's in the cut, and he's just about, I'm going to bless these people. Don't nobody need to know it. I don't even want them to know who did it.
Exactly.
This is for me. I mean, otherwise, who was he doing it for? If you don't want nobody to know about what you're doing and the moves you make, and you're doing moves to make other people's lives better, then you're doing that because that's what's really in your heart to do. So the dude was on another level, and like I say, really, I'm glad at least some of these stories is coming out because it just sheds some light to say, damn, man. He was a real cat. Like, he was really about helping people and stuff. Like, you know, it was bigger than, oh, he ain't playing this lyric or he ain't doing this or why he look like that or whatever. No, I mean, he's actually putting in to people's lives that's going to stay with them forever.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think if he could somehow have known he was going to pass at the age of 57, which is young, do you think he still would have lived his life the way he did?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess you could ask that to anybody who died and didn't know they was going to die.
I think that this life, that lifestyle does take years off of your life for whatever
reason. I disagree with that.
Look how he looked and what the age he was and most people look like at that time.
I'm not talking about like because he's getting old and creaky and so I'm talking about having to maintain all that, having to maintain that level of intensity your entire life. You know, things are coming out that I don't find all that unbelievable. Same thing with Michael. I mean, he was on propofol to keep himself, to allow himself to go to sleep. I'm saying that type of life where you have to constantly one-up yourself every album release or every concert or every comedy show, I think it does tax you and you are susceptible to living, to dying young. And I'm wondering, do you think if some of these, I'm not gonna just talk about Prince, but some of these celebrities, do you think they are aware of that? Would they do something different with their lives if they were to know, okay, I'm going to burn out young?
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't think Prince was chasing it, though. I think he was at a point now where he was, you know, acting, and I don't want to to trivialize him with his statement, but I think he was more like an elder statesman. He was very content with his place. His he knows his legacy was enormous. He's not trying to top Purple Rain. He's not trying to top Sign of the Times. He was just enjoying, you know, being with these other new musicians and bringing them up. Now, I do see your point, Q. A lot of people will get that taste of fleeting, tremendous success and use the rest of their life trying to recapture what they had lost. And that goes for entertainers and business people alike. So I do see that. And in some instances, your point would be valid, but I don't think it applies to Prince as far as we knew him.
I don't know if it's been proven yet, but he was so energetic and so put his body through so much. He was on painkiller. He was in pain for the last decade of his life.
Yeah, well, I don't know about all that.
And if he were, isn't that part of? Again, I wish Ant were here. I don't know, but isn't that part of the tenets of the Jehovah's Witnesses that you don't have transfusions? So I don't think surgery was ever an option for him.
Oh, I thought he had a hip replacement.
Yeah, I've heard he has. I heard he hasn't. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no concrete. Some people say he has. Some people say he doesn't. So all we can do is speculate on that. We don't know if he's in pain for years or not. But you know, my answer to it be is to say, you know, one, I don't know, but I wouldn't put him in any more different than anybody else. In the same categories as somebody who went to go working all their life, and that took a toll on them, and they're not living properly, or you're stressed the majority of your life, and you're not living properly. I mean, human beings are going through a lot of things that are going to take toll off their life, whether they're jumping on stages or they're working in dead-end jobs. Hindsight 2020, we could all be doing something different if we knew. But I think that's the whole point of life, is you don't. And you make what it is with the time that you got. Some of us taking it for granted and thinking we're going to do it later, and we don't know if we're going to make it tomorrow. And some people die and you're like, damn, he never lived up to his potential, right? He could have been this. And we see that a lot, particularly in our community. A lot of us die young for other reasons, right? Or some people, you're like, man, he lived a full life, or she lived a full life. She did a lot, or maybe she just did a lot in a short time, but her life was impactful. And they didn't seem like they was unhappy with it. And those when you say, well, hey, they did their thing, man. They died, but at least they did what they wanted to do. You know, so my answer is to say, hey, yeah, that could be true for anybody. But if you are living your life according to what you want to do, and as you said earlier, if you have some balance and you have some peace in yourself, when your time comes, your time is going to come. You may not be ready. You might not have had that will, or you may have still wanted to go tell that person this, but you never did. But that's on you, you know. So that's why I say don't be waiting. This is a perfect example of not to be waiting for whatever it is that you're going to do, because you don't never know what's going to happen. You might get shot down. You might get ran over tomorrow. You might have a heart attack, whatever. You know. But, hey, I look at guys like Prince and Michael, Tupac, some of these guys, and you say, man, they still had a lot. I feel like they had more they can do, but you know what? Life is short. And so what am I doing? That's all I can do. He might not have lived his life to what I thought he did, but am I living my life to what I wanted to be? Because I can change that. And so I would ask that same question you asked, Q, to myself. Am I happy with my accomplishments? Have I done anything I thought I wanted to do? Or was I, maybe I'll get around to that, or I didn't see myself doing it. Nah, man, we gotta keep recognizing and manifesting, man, because, hey, shit could be over tomorrow. Did I leave what I needed to leave for my kids? Or am I thinking I'm going to save up that money in another 5 years?
You know? I think a lot of it is, I mean, I know for me it's like this. Sometimes, and I don't mean this to sound negative, but sometimes an individual, that could be any of us, you have to put your own needs first. You know, one of my many flaws is I will take other people's challenges on and make them my own and get them out of a pickle. And that would lead me to neglect my things. Mm. And a few weeks ago, I decided, you know what, I'm done with that. So, as you know, I did a lot of criminal law. And I'm like, you know what, that's not going to work for me anymore. And I know I made the right choice because when I was at the thing this weekend, it was like, it wasn't work. It was like walking into an environment where you're embraced and it's like, where have you been? This is where you need to be. And I came back just full of inspiration. I'm wrapping up a couple of things and then it is full on that new direction. And that's a good thing. You know, because I'm not, you know, Prince, I'm not Mike, I'm not Tupac, it's like that. But now I've finally decided, you know what, I'm going to do my thing. Hmm. If other people need the assistance, you know, no hateful feelings or anything like that by any stretch, but, you know, you got to stand on your own 2 feet now. It's time for me to do what I want to do, and I'm going to go make that happen. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I feel that. Taking yourself first, that's something I got to work on myself, man, but I can't please everybody.
Unfortunately, you cannot.
Yeah, so, like I said, manifest, recognize a fucking sap, like my man Bloody Loco said. Go look up Bloody Loco on YouTube.
Uh-oh.
But with that said, I'm going to change gears. We want to recognize Q-Storm.
Yep, yep.
The real Q Storm. The R-E-E-L Q Storm. And so I asked y'all before, I'm going to ask y'all again. Please, you got to go to the YouTube channel. What is there a link? Is it just youtube.com/TheRealQStorm? Is that what it is? Or, Q? Yep.
Damn, try to dap him
see,
up.
See, he me. Ain't recognizing.
Oh, hold on, I'm sorry. I had it on mute.
Oh, my people. Recognize, man.
Damn, Q.
There's a link, but it's like the YouTube link, so it's a bunch of numbers and symbols. But if you go to YouTube and search on The Real, R-E-E-L, Q-Storm, okay, you'll find me.
All right. Is there a official, like, qstorm.com or something they go to and they didn't get all this as well? Or
well, if there's a way to shorten the URL for YouTube, I haven't figured it out yet.
No. I mean, don't you have your own sort of something?
Oh, that blog, The Lightning Strikes?
If that's what it is. Yeah.
I kind of let that sit to the side because, you know, I wasn't really getting a lot of visits there. And,
okay,
you know, I've gotten 20 subscriptions in the last month and a half on the YouTube channel. So, like you're saying, recognize and, you know, manifesting. Sometimes, fate or destiny manifests you to do something. So, if I can get 20 subscribers, I'm still woefully short of where I want to be. But if I can get 20 subscriptions in a month, that's where I need to pour all my energy. You know what I mean?
For sure. Here's a suggestion. Not telling you what to do. This is just we all helping each other. Maybe you should just go on and buy, I don't know, The Real Q Storm. Let's say TheRealQStorm.com. Just buy that. And if I type that, it takes me right to your YouTube page, right? So that way you can just tell people, hey, man, just go to TheRealQStorm.com.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's so easy for me to understand.
I could buy that domain and link it to YouTube, my YouTube channel?
Yeah, you can point it to anywhere you want on the net. So if you want to point it there, at least you can say, oh, you want to find me? TheRealQStorm.com and boom.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
There you go. That's something I got to do, too. I'm going to start doing. I'm not going to say what the words are because I don't want anybody to take it yet. But, but yeah, I mean, that's something. Because, you know, I was like, where can they find you? On podcastuse.net or youtube.com/... Just go to realqstorm.com. That's me. All right, boss. So, but yeah, we want everyone to go check out his YouTube page and to subscribe to that. We want everyone to go to Sean Hill's page. It was Hill Street Views.
Right.
I'm going to assume it's hillstreetviews.com, but it may be
I think it's blocks. I'll take a look right now.
Yeah. So, that's what, so we all going to want to have to get our things together. Because let me say this, and it's the listeners. So we've, and this, and a shout out to my guy, Dallas. Longtime listener, supporter of the show, very talented writer in his own regard. Got a chance to talk to him this weekend. And, man, it was great to hear about the show from a listener's perspective. And really see how they see us and recognize the value that people have in what we do. Right. So I think once we really, if we understand that, that can help us understand, oh, okay, I got, you know, 20,000 people listening to me every month or whatever. There's value in that. What am I doing? Am I leveraging that? You know what I'm saying? That means we're doing something, or that means, shit, if it was just 1% of 20,000, they're actually ride or die podcast juicers. So when you start to recognize the value in what you do and how other people value your opinion, what you say, then, okay, I can build on this. Let me dial down on this and figure this thing out. It's not just me. It's not just Q, Ant, Mark, Sean, Big Ken, Ernie, just talking and ain't nobody listening. Right? So I'm saying this to you, the listener. I'm talking to the guy and gals who have been listening to this thing religiously for all these years, who's been hanging with us. I recognize what you bring to the table, and we're not going to take that for granted. Some of y'all is like my man Dallas. He's listen, man. We want to support you. Make it easy for me. Because I'm, you know, he was describing how he listens to it and the stuff he's doing. He's so enjoying it, and he'll pull over on the road.
Laughing. That's some deep. That's deep right there.
And there's other people that have told me this over time. Just, you know, to hearing it versus reading it on something, I was like, man, okay. And, you know, shout out to my All Access people. Hey, listen, I wouldn't even be doing this thing without them. So I got to make that very clear. I mean, these are people that, you know, All Access is not necessarily cheap. You know, it's $15 a month. You know, these people are putting it in. Boom, boom. I got to find a person's name so I can shout them out. Because they was the first one. Well, I ain't even think what nobody going to pay attention to it. And she wasn't even somebody who I would have figured was even feeling what I was doing. So I definitely have to recognize this person just for being first. And it's shame that I have to look up the name. Cause it's
escaping. Is it Regina Gray?
It's not Regina Gray, but shout out to Regina Gray. Yes. And this young lady's been on the show before a couple of times.
I'm going to stop. I was going to say Erica.
No. Crystal Haley's.
Okay. Yeah.
Crystal, listen. Hopefully you're listening to this. So when I first started doing the All Access thing, I was trying to figure out, like, man, what dollar amount should we do? You know, is it going to be too much? People don't want to pay. Oh, Mike, you're charging too much. Anybody going to go for that? Blah, blah, blah. So I put it at like $15, right? And I was just like, let me see what happens. And first person who signed up was Crystal, young sister girl. And like I said, I didn't think that a younger person would even really, you know, not paying for something like this. But I would say she was a newer Prince fan. And she just was like, you know what, from what I understand, I'm learning so much listening to this. It's opening my eyes. I didn't know it was that deep. And, you know, it's a lot. Sometimes women will be the first ones to believe and put it down. So that's why I said, I shout out Crystal, because from day one, boom, she was a believer. She put it in. It wasn't no words of encouragement. It was, no, I'm here to break bread and make sure this thing continues on. And even when I dialed the price back to $5 a month, I said, Crystal, I don't, you know, it's not right that you pay this. And I just say, you know what? No. Keep it at 15. Because I believe in what you're doing. So I was like, okay. For sure. And now we're back up to the 15. And again, you know, I was like, nobody going to do this. They sign up more than ever. So I appreciate it. And I'm going to keep working hard. Anyway.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
So it looks like Sean is on his work. And he has a website coming out. Because I Googled hillstreetviews.com. And it, there's a landing page that says coming soon.
Okay.
But for now, as far as I can see, if you go to hillstreetviews with a Z, .blogspot.com, you'll get his blog. And for me, it looks like if you Google The Real Q Storm, you'll see some links. You'll see a bunch of links that pop up on Google. Now, I don't know if that's just because mine is set to that or what, but I'm going to take your advice. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, it's called pointing a domain. So you don't have to have no hosting. Just buy the domain and say, I want it to go here when they click on it. Boom. All right. Getting away from all of that stuff. So, you know, we talk about that sometime. Work it like a job. Work it like your name is Toby Tuesdays. what's in the news? Is there anything in the news? Oh, I saw this. Idris Elba. He is starring in The Dark Tower, which is a series of Stephen King books.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's playing the title character, which was apparently a white guy in the books. So shout out to Idris Elba, man. That could potentially be a big movie because that's a long, you know, very popular classic Stephen King, you know, series of books.
And they did make that a comic series.
That's right, they did. I don't know.
Well, I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
What do you think, you know, they're casting Black Panther, which isn't coming off till 2018. But what role do you think Lupita Nyong'o is going to be playing? Is it now? Let me just throw out my dream scenario here. Much like Sony started gave the license back to Marvel to use Spider-Man in a certain capacity.
Well, they share the license. Possible,
huh? What's that?
They share it. It's still going to be a Sony movie.
Right. Do you think there's any possibility that, given that you had two Quicksilvers, and you had one on Fox and one in Marvel currently, that maybe that Fox will work out a deal with Marvel as well, and we could see Lupita possibly play Storm, and maybe they can't use the name Storm, but they'll just refer to her as Aurora. I mean, I know that's crazy, but what's the chance of that?
I don't see that happening personally.
Well, what character do you think she's playing then?
I don't know enough of the mythos of Green Lantern, of Black Panthers. I have no idea.
Just popped into my head. She could be playing Shuri's sister.
Oh, right. Or one of the Dora Milaje.
I thought about the Dora Milaje, but I don't think he would have, or they would cast one so predominantly over the other. Oh, I could be wrong though. Because, you know, they run it up, you know, there are two of them. You have one that's played by someone with some serious, you know, credibility and star power, and the other one's played by, you know, someone from central casting. That wouldn't really offset the characters. I'm just leaning toward the sister now that, you know, you brought it up, actually. I was thinking Storm myself, but, you know, I haven't seen Storm and him connected in quite a while, and his sister's been pretty active in the book the last few years.
Yeah, I think it would be. Yeah, I don't see why any incentive for Fox to do that. I mean, their X-Men movies are obviously very successful, and they ain't giving up nothing for free. So I don't know. If anything, I could see if they wanted to, if there was a conversation, they'd be like, "Well, you can have." And I don't know the young lady's name that's playing Storm in the new movie. Like,
oh, Alexandra Shipp.
Yeah, if you want to have her in the movie, I'm sure they would be like, yeah, well, you know, you're just hyping up our shit.
You saw that article where she was pitching that.
She was.
Oh, I didn't see it. No.
She was. She went on all the. I knew she had an article. I can't remember. It was one of the pop culture sites or comic book sites where she was saying, "I so want this movie to happen, where my character is in a movie with Black Panther." And I'm like, I bet you do.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they would. And like I said, I could see something like that happen. I could really see them pulling Hugh Jackman. I mean, again, it's always be a win for both of them, but I could see them having somehow Wolverine, you know, they licensed Wolverine to jump over there. I'd want to see that. It'd be very interesting, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know,
Wolverine in Wakanda, that'll make no sense.
Well, no, I mean, in a Marvel movie.
Oh, okay.
I think there was some discussion. Actually, I did see an article with the Russos talking about they would love if Wolverine could be in the Avengers Affinity. You know, again, maybe they could be just throwing that out there to see if it's possible. But as we've seen, money, anything is possible. If they pulled in Spider-Man, you know, throw enough money at the situation, yeah, they pull Hugh Jackman in there. And speaking of Wolverine, that's going to be shooting pretty soon, and that's going to be Old Man Logan.
Watch those books blow up in value if they haven't already.
Yeah.
This is what they're called. This would be Wolverine 3.
Yep. Yep. Set in the future.
So what was Wolverine 1? That Origins movie?
Yeah. Yep.
And then which wasn't that bad.
I didn't like how they did it. The Deadpool character.
I didn't know anything about Deadpool, so I didn't think it was that bad. Yeah,
they did Deadpool wrong. They weren't even close with Deadpool.
Did they call him Deadpool once he became quote-unquote Deadpool? I know they called Ryan Reynolds the human Deadpool.
You know, it could be another one of those things where they couldn't say Deadpool.
No, I think they referred to him as Deadpool when he was Ryan, you know, and you know, before he was mutated. I thought they did. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I mean, I knew it was Deadpool. I don't know. I can't remember if they said his name or not, but.
And the second movie was based on the Frank Miller miniseries.
Yeah. That's a good movie. I enjoyed
it. Oh, yeah, that was the movie that, you know, all these years made me buy Hugh Jackman really as Wolverine.
Yeah, that was good. And I liked that was kind of one of the, I think that was one of the first ones where they did the whole, you know, uncut version.
Yep.
You know, and you know, got the second which taste.
So much better.
Yeah, it was dope. Now, has anyone seen the uncut, the X-Men Days of Future Past? I never watched that.
I didn't know there was one.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it's called Rogues something. The Rogue Cut, I guess. Because there was a whole subplot apparently with the Rogue character. Where, you know, they cut it out of the movie. I think they did it on purpose. So they
what movie is this?
Days of Futures Past, the last
X-Men. I had no idea there was a... I didn't know that.
Interesting. Because why don't we talk about this? Want to see it. Well, yeah, what's the girl? She's on that one HBO show with the vampires. I can't think of
it. Oh, yeah.
Anna
Paquin.
Yeah, they was her.
I didn't like that show at all either.
Really?
Oh, True Blood. I watched it. I'm like, no.
I love the first season. I think the second season. But anyway, it was her. So yeah, this call, I think it's called Days of Futures Past, The Rogue Cut or something like that. And her whole other subplot is inserted into the movie. But I think they do that on purpose. Well, at least sort of a thing now. Of course, the Batman, Superman, they're going to, you know, get a second taste off of that 3-hour version. But I wouldn't.
They're really going to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's the Blu-rays been announced. It's like a 3-hour version. I think they plan these. I think the whole thing is planned from the gate, though, because it's a moneymaker. Like, if you can say, oh, you want to see the uncut version of the movie? You know, buy the Blu-ray or whatever, you know. So
I saw enough of that movie.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah, see, that's the movie. They need to kind of give me an idea of what I'm going to get, because I'm not going to just go out and buy that, see, you know, 5 minutes of
Superman
just looking more pissed.
It's an extra, 30, 40 minutes? Oh, then see, I will buy it, right?
Oh, not, are they going to show, what's that, I forget the character. There's a scene with Luthor and some goo in the ship.
Yeah, that's taken from that.
Steppenwolf, right?
Yeah, that's taken from that extended
version. You actually buy an extended cut of that movie?
I love that movie. So, of course,
would you buy an extended cut of Fantastic Four?
I didn't like that movie. But I did. I loved, you know, same way with me with the Watchmen. I really loved the Watchmen, and I love that extended version of it.
The Watchmen was awesome.
Yeah, Watchmen so. Was awesome.
I got to be the voice of dissension here, I guess.
It's all good. But I think that's sort of a thing now. At least Fox and Warner Brothers seem to be doing that, you know, where they have the extra, you know, the second version. But
you
go ahead.
You brought up Fantastic Four. What crack are they smoking over there? Were they going to do another movie with the same actors and do a sequel to that?
Well, I don't have a problem with the actors. That movie was horrible because it was a mess. But there are parts of that movie. At a certain point, that movie was good to me. Like, and then it just goes off the rails.
Wait! Fantastic Four?
Yeah, the first part of it, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was like, this is kind of interesting. I like where it's going. And then it just goes bonkers. And you could tell I don't know if they cut pieces out or they didn't film stuff, and it just. It's like somebody else came in and said, oh, we got to have them do this. You know, fuck out. And it was a mess. But I just think they needed to get rid of the director, which they have. But I had no problem with the cast members. Their acting wasn't bad. If I was Fox, I wouldn't be giving that shit up. Like, this is a moneymaker.
I wouldn't call it a moneymaker.
I would say again.
I wouldn't call it a moneymaker.
Well, again, they can't lose no money off of it. I mean,
now that's true.
You put a competent director on it and somebody knows what they're doing, you're going to make some money with the Fantastic Four. It's not like a bad property.
There's no way I'm going to risk any money and have the same cast and have the same mojo going into a second film and people going and looking at, oh, those are the same actors that stunk up the joint the first time.
Again, and you show people a dope trailer.
Kate Mara with her horrible wig again.
Yeah, but you show people a dope trailer and you market it that is better than the other one. There's people will go see it.
Well, wasn't this trailer dope though?
Right. I'm saying now that they're dealing with the backlash, I'm saying if you show a dope trailer and you market it as if, oh, we got it right this time. Or again, hey, if they would have cut the check to Josh Whedon or any of these, one of these directors that people have, you know. Oh, if he's on it, it's going to be good. Then they're going to make money. It's not that the Fantastic Four itself isn't horrible. Michael B. Jordan is not horrible.
No.
None of those actors are technically not horrible.
They were not horrible, but that movie was directed or the
Oh, it was. But there's been many movies that have been horrible before, and they were able to bounce back. And of course, superheroes are hot, man. And again, Fox, for the most part, is winning. I mean, they had Deadpool this year, which is a huge movie. They had X-Men, about to have another one. It's not like they're, you know, hurting or anything. They can take a L. And they know they got leverage. Again, I'm sure Marvel or Disney would love to get that back, but they ain't going to get it back for free. They could be like, well, hey, Marvel, why don't you come on over here and eat with us, you know, and you can incorporate them. They would probably be like, hell yeah. Let's get this money. Like they did Spider-Man. So, I don't know. We'll see. They haven't announced they're going to do a movie yet.
Well, I don't have anything against them doing another film. I can see that, but make it completely just wash, use bleach to wash the stench of the other one.
Yeah, please.
I'm gonna be eating that neck bone over there.
Right. You know who I want to see play Reed Richards? And I think you watched this show, Big Sexy. The dude, the lead character on Scorpions.
I don't watch Scorpions, so I'm not familiar what you're talking about. Not the guy in the silly hat.
No, he's not the lead. Actually, I think the guy's Middle Eastern or Pakistani or something.
Well, you know, look, as long as he's older, because the first Reed Richards, oh, God.
Well, he's not older, I can tell you that much. He's probably in his late 20s.
Nope. Can't be Reed Richards. Nope. Gotta have that
great. I've given up on that fight. Everything's going to go young. I don't have that fight anymore.
As long as I don't have him, like, spinning to the disco ball, like in the first one. Oh, that was painful.
That was the second one.
Oh, the second one? Know your characters, people. Come on now. Reed would never do that. Ever.
Hilarious.
This makes as much sense as Worf you know, doing a bikini model.
Oh,
no, with your characters. That would never happen.
Hmm. Oh, I see. They're developing a Harley Quinn movie.
You know, they sold on that.
Oh yeah, of course. We're...
They need to back up a little bit because it's not Suicide Squad is even out yet. You know, so let's not start greenlighting shit when they may have another Fantastic Four in their hands.
What's interesting about that is you look at that trailer. Who's getting all the screen time for the most part in that trailer? All the good lines, it's her. So it looks like they're pushing her.
Well, I say this, man. There's a great opportunity, still an untapped movie-going experience for that female superhero. You know what I'm saying? And who's going to be, you know, so if the Wonder Woman movie is any good, I mean, that's a potential to be a huge space for the female, you know, superhero action type of thing, man. And again, I don't think they'll lose money with these movies. I can see why they would develop it. You know, they haven't said they're going to make it yet, but to actually have that, hey, put some people on that, you know, write a script. Let's see what we can do with that. That's a smart move because you would look at it right now. That movie would probably be very popular. At least the reception from the people so far is it's popular. So at least kind of have, at least be ready to move if it does take off, right? And, you know, they've signed her up. Go ahead. What's that?
I agree with you 100%. But the problem is, I'm on my Daryl B right now. The problem is, you had that chance when you cast Linda Hamilton as the badass in Terminator 2. When you cast Sigourney Weaver in all four Alien films, you had your female superhero now, and they never capitalized on that. So I don't expect them to do it now.
Well, again, that was a different time. And I think you've had, I don't know, I think the marketplace is a little different. Then there has been the success, you know, they didn't have the, I mean, I would say some of the biggest movies, franchises of today are female driven, right? Of course, the Star Wars movie just came out. It was the biggest movie of all time. But was the Katniss movies, what is that called? Hunger Games, I'm sorry. you see the potential that the Hunger Games did. What was the other one? Twilight. The sort of the stereotype, but there's sort of the trope of the young girl.
You're talking about Divergent too.
And Divergent is another one, right? So those type of movies, I mean, and they don't play to dudes, right? I mean, they're predominantly playing to the young girls. So I'm saying, you know, the movies you listed were male movies. You know, they were older women. I think now the marketplace is a lot different. Obviously, they're leveraging different things from other marketplaces now where they didn't do that before. You know, these things that we just talked about are all based off of books that were hugely, hugely popular, and they was able to leverage that into, you know, triple dip. I think all of them have been triple dip from the book, right? The books were series, and those movies have been series, and they've all been successful. So there's a lot of money, you know, not just that one movie, but you can bust the franchise off of that. So I think, yeah, you're going to want to, you know, the smart guy is going to say, yeah, Harley Quinn character, that's sort of already somewhat popular, low level in comic world, and this girl is hot, the actress, the reception we're getting from this trailer is big, just in case, have that shit ready to go so we can strike, right? Wonder Woman is going to come out. And again, they didn't wait for Batman v Superman to come out. They just green light Wonder Woman. But again, she's the biggest superhero female. Like, that's just easy money. So, you know, like I said, we'll see. Obviously, we still got to see if that movie's any good. If for some reason that movie is horrible, which I don't think it would be, but if for some reason it was, then they're probably not going to put it out. But, you know, right now they're playing a marketing game, right? They put that story out there. And let you, and see what the reception is going to be, right? These stories aren't leaked. You know, these stories are released to gauge interest in what they got going on. So, you know, we'll see what they do.
You know what I have to say? I don't know why, but I have no idea why.
But I'm kind of hyped to see Independence Day 2. No clue.
I'm very hyped to see that. That trailer looks crazy. That could be some bullshit. But it should look dope, man. I'm like, okay. What's going on here? But it could be, it could easily be some bullshit. Easily. But ain't nothing else competing that's in that genre for me. Like, well, okay. Check it out. You know, they ain't got no Will. You got Jeff Goldblum. He's sounding corny as usual, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, my man got to be corny as usual.
Well, I mean, you know, he's doing his shtick.
Jeff Goldblum.
You got Vivica A. Fox. Vivica A. Fox was in it. That's not a selling point. You didn't have to have her in it. But we'll see. They threw some money at it. I say that much, boy. They didn't spare no expense. Because it looks fantastic.
I can't believe they didn't ask Vivica Fox back. She could use the work, too.
No, I said she is in it.
Oh, she is? She?
She's in the trailer, yeah.
I don't remember seeing her in the trailer.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They didn't have to have her on there, but she's in there.
Now, what kind of, which face does she bring? I'm just curious.
Wow.
Because I saw her on Empire today. I was binge watching Empire. She's not aging well. The wine is not ripening very well.
Damn.
I can't speak on that. But
the wine is not ripening. That's cold.
Those grapes are not.
of a comic book property that has not been touched yet, what would you guys like to see as a movie? Wow. Give you a chance to think about that. But
oh, I know. I already know.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to go a little off the board here. I would like to see Wildcats done. Not the original Jim Lee, Brandon Choi superhero slugfest drivel, but the one that Joe Casey did that was really based on industrial espionage. Hmm. That was awesome. I think it was called Wildcats 2.0. It started after Alan Moore's run on the series, and it was, I reread it constantly. It was really well done. Really well done.
Okay.
And they had to rush the ending because Jim Lee, egotist that he is, felt like he wanted to do Wildcats again and relaunch it with another number one, which he did do because it's his book, and there was still number two.
Okay. All Dick. Right. So Wildcats 2.0. Oh, yes. Who would you either give me a star or a director?
As far as direction, I would want someone with a with a type of aesthetic towards who directed Winter Soldier?
Russo brothers.
The Russos.
I'd want them.
Okay.
Well, that's easy. Come on now.
Well, not because they're popular.
That's a safe choice.
I didn't know who directed it until just now. You know, but the way they did that, they captured, and okay, we'll take them off the board. Take them off the board. I could go with someone like, because I'm not a big, you know, name dropper of directors, but someone who really brings a tense, tension-filled drama to life. You know, a lot of people who do like industrial espionage films, like whistleblower type films, that type of director could do it.
All right. Well, I mean, you can pick the Russos, man. That's what you like.
Because it wasn't really about, you know, running around in long underwear. It was really about, you know, clandestine things. And as far as the star, I would want someone who could play a good android to play Spartan. But I also want someone all right. Can we come back to me?
Yeah, that's not, no problem. Yep. All right, Q, which one you got?
Well, I'm just going to say this because I was thinking about this. It just popped in my head a couple days ago. It would be interesting to see Alpha Flight.
Oh.
Because you got your two speedsters. You got your big Hulk and Sasquatch. You've got, you could give Peter Dinklage some more work because Game of Thrones is about to wrap up.
as Puck, and you got your Submariner and your Aquaman and Marina, I think her name is.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's one other character I'm forgetting about. Or you could you could do it where Guardian, of course, but yeah, you Guardian. Could do it where Guardian is dead, and the woman, since as you were just saying, female action heroes are prime for success, where Heather Hudson is leading the team. And you could also tie that into Wolverine.
Exactly. I was going to say, you could always get a Wolverine cameo.
Okay, okay.
But now cast it.
Or give me a directive, either one.
Well, okay, let's just take the Russos off the table, because that's too easy. I'm going to go with, let me think first. Man, you caught me off guard, man.
See, now you know how it feels.
I'm thinking maybe the guy, I'm just going by movies that I've seen recently that I've liked that had action, a nice action pace to them. I'm thinking maybe the guy who directed Casino Royale. Who was that? Martin Campbell, was it? Or the guy who directed the first or second Jason Bourne film? Or I'm going to go just an easy pick, and people could say I'm tribal, but I want to see Fuqua working some more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mine would be, I think I said it before, Supreme Power. It's basically it's a version of the Justice League, but way darker. But I would love to see that done. And I would pick, you took my pick, Fuqua, either him or the Hughes brothers, because I want it to be brutal. I want the directors who are not afraid to show hardcore situations. So I would love for either one of those casts to do it. If I had to choose from a team, I would have Fuqua direct the movie, but I would have Zack Snyder do all the action.
Wow. When you said brutal, I was going to throw out Greg Nicotero to you.
Who was that? I don't know what's the.
He used to be, well, I suppose, so he was the makeup artist on The Walking Dead. Now he's been directing. I think he's directed the whole last season, this season.
Oh, shit. I thought he was the makeup artist. Mm.
He was the creature design guy.
Wow. Good for him.
And, I mean, Walking Dead is, it's TV, but, you know, the Russo's bumped up from TV to Captain America, so you know, give him a shot. He can do the brutal.
See, I want the, but yeah, and that's cool. But yeah, I know like the guy. Actually, yeah, I want the Fuqua or the Hughes brothers because their sensibility is the type of shit that I like. Like, you know, Dead Presidents is a hardcore movie. You know, it's bleak. Menace to Society, it's bleak, hardcore but funny. Like, it's still, you know what I mean? So I want that because, you know, I want that black character. I want a brother to direct that black character. It was Nighthawk. You know, I want the focus to go on Nighthawk because I just, that would be something we ain't never seen on TV or the movies where it's, oh, okay, this is a black superhero that's on some other shit. He's Batman, but he's the black Batman.
And he ain't happy.
He's not happy. He's, you know, he's crazy, you know, and I want that, the speedster dude, you know, that interplay between those two black characters. One is very militant and the other is, you know, not. And it'd be very, very interesting, but.
Let me pose this to you. Since you mentioned Nighthawk and speaking of his characterizations, what about a crossover with Image? Make it Nighthawk versus Shadowhawk. Both of them are black, and both of them are not having it. If anything, Shadowhawk can have it more because he's breaking backs.
Who is Shadowhawk part of a team? I don't know that character.
Shadowhawk is not part of a team. He was a cat in the initial Image run created by, I believe, Mark Silvestri. And when he caught you fucking up, he would break your back and paralyze you. That's it.
But I don't mean to move on to something, but it just struck me. You mentioned Image. I'm surprised it hasn't been a concept done for Invincible.
That would be another
thing. It hasn't been a concept done for Invincible yet.
I mean, it seemed like that would have been done as soon as Kick-Ass came out. Your teenage superhero, you know?
You know, when the first Kick-Ass was good, the second one, yeah. But I would love to see Invincible, you know, on the big screen. I think it would be great.
I have yet to read those books, but I hear nothing but great things about them.
You got to read them.
It's a slow start. I have the first three trades, and I got as far as spoiler. I got as far as when his father goes to the League of Heroes, whatever the name of the team is, and kills them all. That's as far as I got, and that was 2 years ago.
if what you read so far doesn't move you, maybe you're just not into it.
Maybe it's just not your thing, man. Yeah.
But have you guys heard that? I don't know if this is just a myth or urban legend or whatever, but they're trying to develop Crossed into a TV show.
What?
Oh, I wish they would. Straight to HBO, but
you got to be HBO. Maybe Playboy Channel.
I mean, I've seen this on, well, mostly some of the people on the Fantastic Facebook page are saying this, but man, I think, Mike, you turned me onto that book, and after a year, I was like, well, why am I reading this? I think I turned off of that book around the same time you did.
I haven't been on Crossed in a while myself.
Yeah, I don't read it much anymore. I'll pick it up every once in a while, just, you know, free or something, but yeah,
it's just too much.
It is. You can't read. Anyone who's long-term reading that sort of question.
Also reminds me, another book I picked up on your recommendation, and I can't remember the title of. I have it laying around here somewhere. I need to find that so my son doesn't find it.
Oh.
It was a book you recommended about this island where superheroes go to, and they just have sex all day.
What?
You remember that book?
You talking to me?
Yeah, you recommended it.
Damn, I don't remember what it's called right now.
I'm not making this up.
Are you talking about The Boys?
No.
No, The Boys is a silent island.
I think it was the same team.
The same team?
I can't remember the name of the book, but it was about these superheroes who they go on vacation to this island, and all they do is...
This sounds kind of familiar, but it sounds like one of the runs of The Boys. But
yeah, it does. It sounds like one of those runs where they had like their, one of those teen books or teen characters books and, you know, integrated into it.
Yeah. I wonder if you're talking about The Boys.
It was like a subsidiary or what do you call it? Spinoff from that. Yes.
So yeah, it was part of The Boys.
That wasn't the name of the book though.
Okay, I got to look this up.
Oh yeah. I don't.
You know, cause this will drive me nuts.
And I'm like, what the hell is Mike reading?
I read some funny stuff, man. I just picked up this, I read manga from time to time. And I just got this one called I Am a Hero. Dark Horse put out an omnibus. So it's a really thick book. But it's a zombie story set in Japan. The story is it's a...
Herogasm? Was that it?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I think that's it. That's it.
Yeah, that was a lot of fucking.
That was crazy.
Oh, okay. I vaguely remember this. I'm looking at the picture. Yeah, this is part of The Boys. But I am a hero, man. It's a mentally challenged manga artist. He's a man, like 35 years old. And the first half of it is just about his day-to-day life. He's talking to imaginary people. He's afraid to sort of leave the house on his own a little bit. And he's a manga artist, so he has to go to work and, you know, they draw comics. So it's very much rooted in, you know, normal sort of Japanese culture, day-to-day stuff. And he's dating this chick. And she seems to be mentally challenged at times, too. they have a whole different sort of culture. So they live in these very small apartments. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So it's just interesting to... It really puts you in their world. Like, sort of the claustrophobic living environments that they live in. And the job spaces are very tight, you know. And eventually a zombie thing jumps off. And I haven't finished it yet, but it is really good. Like, if you can get into it, I'm just like, whoa. And apparently it's a movie, actually. Because it says the movie's based on this. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And I looked it up. There is a trailer. I guess it was a big movie in Japan. It's called I Am a Hero. And it's a zombie movie. But, yeah, if you're a manga person and you want to, man, check that out. It's really good. And I'm actually really starting to get more and more into manga, like certain kinds. They just don't pull no punches, man. Like, that's why I like about
manga's
it.
Out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like reading the regular, you know, it's just real people, but it's like it, you know, it deals with sexuality realistically, it deals with, you know, work realistically. And I appreciate that, man. I'm like, they take this shit so serious over there. It's not even treated as if it's a comic or a graphic novel. It's like, no, nigga, this is what we read. And I'm like, man, I wish America was like that. You know, they can have these very adult stories and it's treated with respect and, you know, everyone's reading it. So I really love that. That they respect the arts like that. But yeah. But man, comics, man, I'm kind of falling off on comics. A lot of the shit I'm reading is
not good.
Yes. Yeah, that's just, I don't even, I'm not even paying for them, and I don't even want to read them. Eh.
Damn.
I need to talk to you about that offline. Because I can't afford them anymore.
Ain't much to pay for them, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's not that. I mean, what's the good book now? I don't even know what's.
You know?
Southern Bastards, I like that.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
But, you know, that's Jason Aaron. He's kind of always going to deliver when he does his. You know, his stuff.
But, The Vision was good this week, or this last week.
Oh, I haven't read that. Okay. I haven't
he has his own book now?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. You know, it was a lot of retelling of the story of his romance with the Scarlet Witch. It was really good, and it captured a lot of seminal moments in Avengers history. And being an Avengers geek, every time they play, you know, pull up a panel, I'm like, I know where that panel came from. That was 163. Or that was, you know, 192. It was great. It was great. Hmm. But for the most part, you know, they introduced a new Wasp in Avengers or Uncanny Avengers or whatever the fuck Avengers. And apparently this Wasp, are you ready for this? Spoiler! God, you'll thank me for this. This Wasp is Henry Pym's daughter from his first wife who got killed in Tales to Astonish 35.
Okay.
Which is some absolute, unadulterated bullshit.
It's very esoteric as well.
You know, it's like, come on, man. They're reaching like this. This reminds me of a time, I said this before, back in like the mid to late 90s, when Marvel, right before Marvel did the Heroes Reborn thing, and the Avengers books were just so bad. And they had Wasp as actual insect at one point, and they had Tony Stark as a teenager, and they had Iron Man before he became a teenager killing other Avengers. I'm like, this is just crap. It was back, they had the Force Works title. Oh man, it was a bad time for books.
The whole Marvel line for me is totally unreadable. I can't even,
you know, I'm trying to think of something that really stands out from Marvel, and I can't. Spider-Man. I mean,
Which one?
Amazing Spider-Man is the best of an unreadable group of books. It's not a great book by any stretch. It's just the best of the worst.
Yeah, I can't understand the Avengers lineup.
Neither can I.
The X-Men lineup.
It's garbage. Yeah. You know, just bringing the X-Men forward in time. Let that shit go. It's over. You know, then as much as I hate when DC imitates Marvel. Marvel needs to imitate DC and just blow it up like they did back in the 90s when they had, Kurt Busiek on the Avengers relaunch, and that was awesome. Because what's going on now is not working.
Nah.
Period. It is not working.
Has Civil War II started yet?
Does anyone care? It hasn't started yet, though.
Yeah, I can't.
Do we know what's going to lead up to that, or is there what's the?
I think there's a one shot coming out in end of May or beginning of June that starts it all. And you know, I keep seeing the art for it. It's like Iron Man versus Captain Marvel. Really?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
you know, Iron Man is an A-list. Marvel is a C-list at best.
But wouldn't Captain Marvel kill him easily? Handle him easily?
I don't, you know, I don't know what the levels of Carol Danvers' skill set is presently. When she was running around as Binary, she'd have kicked his ass. Even in her Ms. Marvel days, she could have took him. But now I don't know what they're doing with her, so I don't know. But at the same time, she is, you know, a Kree person, which means she's going to whip that ass. So he, in a straight-up brawl, he's overmatched. He's overmatched. But he may have some type of weird anti-Kree whip-ass armor that we don't know about. Because he pulled that out in Avengers Galactic Storm back in the late 90s. Again, part of that bad run of books. And this one is shaping up to be a stinker.
Yeah.
Because this last one they did, the standoff book at a...
That was corny.
At a Pleasant Hill. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, that was, I was trying to understand where were they going with that.
Neither do I. It was bullshit. Now they're trying to have Bucky run the Thunderbolts. Look, it's like that's been done. It was done with Hawkeye, and it worked. It ain't working here.
Dang, I'm getting seriously geeked out, man. I have no clue what y'all talking about.
And they need to quit dicking around and relaunch another Fantastic Four book with a good creator on it. Because that Jonathan Hickman stuff was bullshit.
Yeah, I read that. I think I read Fantastic Four, it may have been 5 years ago now, and it was a Hickman run. All these multiple Reed Richards at this convention. Yes. I'm like, what?
Garbage. It was absolute drivel.
I got off of Fantastic Four when they changed to FF, the Future Foundation, with those white costumes.
Yes. Oh, that was bad. And they had Sue Storm in the little hot pants and the thigh-high boots with the big F cut out of her chest. Really? Know your fucking characters, gentlemen. They did not know her.
They put that one artist. I don't know if he's still doing Silver Surfer. I think he's either doing Silver Surfer or She-Hulk.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like Andy Warhol-ish, I guess.
Mike Allred's doing that. That didn't help either.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Because they have nowhere else to go with these characters, man. So.
You know, see, I disagree with that. Uh-huh. I think a lot of the creators are just lazy and just, you know, pitching shit that, okay, there you go. I take that back. I don't think it's the creators. I think it's editorial. Editorially, say, look, y'all got to do better than this. This ain't going to work.
You know what I would like to see? I don't know how you guys think about this, but they do it all the time in Hollywood now. Just quote-unquote reboot stories that from the 70s.
No.
Well, they've done that in a sense.
They've done it, and I don't like that.
Like, I would love to see Thing take on Guard once again.
Well, you know, I think the thing is... Oh, go ahead.
Thing fighting Thundra. I would love to see Thing fighting Thundra again. Right.
Well, they can bring her back and handle business because she's running around in the Marvel Universe.
I think these stories, at least Marvel and DC for the most part, they've done... And this is why I say the very iconic, classic storytelling of these characters has been done. Like, there are very classic and influential stories that have been done in all of these runs. And I think at this point, you're dealing with people who are younger that were influenced. Either A, they're influenced by the you know, and you have to be because it's such a hundred, you know, the big gorilla there. You can't not, you know, you're not going to write Batman and you had not already read The Dark Knight and some of the more classic iconic runs, and you can't help but be influenced by that. It didn't take a lot. And again, these are, you know, great artists, writers are hard to find. Like, everyone's not going to be Frank Miller. Everyone is not going to be John Byrne or, you know what I mean? Those storytellers. So you got to hire a whole new group of people. You just have no choice, right? You can't just say, here, John Byrne, you can take it now. Like, he's done his, you know, he's past his prime. He's on some other shit. Or Frank Miller, right? You can't just let him do it because he's on some other shit. So you have to bring in these new guys, and the chances of them being on the levels of those past classic people, I mean, that just doesn't happen all the time. And so what I think happens is they're just derivative of what came before, because, one, these guys are still new and starting out, and not everyone's going to be a shining star. And they have the weight of 50 years or whatever of past stories that they can't read. You know, well, I can't do this. Somebody already created the dope way of doing it. I can't do the same thing he did. Or you do it over and you make the Ultimates line, or you kind of do what Q was saying. Why don't you just do it all over again with a different person? Which I just think when you have characters and stories like this, there's only so much that can be told. And what has been told has been so popular. How are they going to come up with something new when it's already been done? Like, you would have to go outside of the character's traits to do something new. And people would cry foul because, oh, Captain America wouldn't do that. Or, you know what I mean? He wouldn't do this. But then what else could you possibly do? That's why, like, with Superman. Well, Superman wouldn't do this. Well, no, he wouldn't. But if we don't have him do this, then what the hell else is he going to do? Because they didn't already done it. And these guys are all influenced by that. And either they're going to repeat it or they got to do something totally different. And I just think the comic medium, it went beyond this. And I said this before. It went beyond storytelling. It is done now for money. So what else are they going to tell? They don't have... You can't keep characters going for 100 years. They didn't already, you know what I mean? At a certain point, they done everything. No book or no story was made to continuously go on and the character does not die or age. That life doesn't work that way. So for them to try and do these stories over and over, how many battles can they have with Dr. Doom? It doesn't make any sense, right? They've been fighting him for 50 years. How many different fights are they going to do?
You know, one of the later battles they did with Doom was part of the Mark Waid run, and he came at it at a completely different, you know, viewpoint. You know, he had Reed trapped in a magical space. Reed is a man of science, and Doom was like, you can't get out because this is a realm of magic, and you don't believe in magic. You will never get out. And he couldn't get out until Doctor Strange, who was a magic person, came and taught him the ways of magic. It was really, really great.
But what do you do after that then?
Right. You do something else.
Right, but I'm saying after you've extinguished all of the realms of, okay, you've eliminated magic from the table because then you can just bring this guy in and solve it. You've eliminated this from the table because you already gave him a solution of why you can't do that again. At a certain point, you either have to kill that character. Or, you know what I mean? I just think those guys are all past what could be done, that somebody wouldn't pull the other issue and be like, but you already defeated them this way, like this. Why can't they just, you know what I mean? What could they, again, if you have the same heroes and villains in a story, it's going to get stale. And then if you try to introduce a new threat to it, some people will say, well, why come they're not using the guys from their, you know, universe. How come you're not using the Joker at some? This shit is played out.
Well, that's, I think, why. A lot of it also is a lot of creators now are thinking about, you know, movie adaptations and you know, creator owned work. So they want to give up new creations to Marvel and DC because, you know, they want to be like Kirkman and keep it themselves and do their own deal.
Well, right. And that's why I say it's about the money. The money would dictate, I have no ownership in this character if I give it to you, so I'm not. So the stories will stay stale, right? Because the new creatives are not going to create something they can't own. And so what do you do in the Marvel Universe if there's no other new characters? No one's giving up some new shit unless they're going to be brought in as a partner. And you know Marvel ain't doing that. Neither is DC. That's why we ain't getting no new books. They're just going to keep regurgitating the same characters. Because if you are a creative, are you going to give them the next $1 billion character and you ain't eating? Hell no.
Well, that's true.
I'll do it myself, but I ain't. Hell no. So they just going to keep the same. Okay, kill them off, bring them back. Kill them off, bring them back. Where's the new people?
But you can use existing characters and, you know, switch their general protagonist. A great example of that is when they took Kingpin out of Spider-Man and put him in Daredevil. That worked.
Right, and they've done that multiple times. So what do you do now? That's what I'm saying. Okay, now what?
Well, you can have... Okay, I'm just going back to Fantastic Four. You can have, for some reason, the Frightful Four jump on the Avengers.
You could
make it. You know, that hasn't been done as far as I know.
And they don't even. But they don't even have a Fantastic Four.
This is also true. I forgot about that.
Hey, fellas.
You got to jump out? Yeah, we gotta wrap
this. Yeah, I was supposed to jump out an hour ago.
My bad.
In trouble.
Well, we wrap
this. Y'all was on the roll. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, it's all good. It's like 9:30.
Y'all just making me feel old because I don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
Real quick, last thing. We're not going to talk about it, but I will say, go check out the new trailer for 24 Legacy.
Oh.
Starring Dr. Dre. Straight out of Compton. So it's a new face.
I need to be reviewing that. That's a video right there.
Yeah, it's a new face for 24. That's a black person starring.
You're joking about Dr. Dre, though, right?
No, we talked about it. He got cast as the lead. I mean, not Dr. Dre, but the guy who played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that would be interesting. Dr. Dre stars at 24.
Is that the cat from Walking Dead?
Yeah, I guess he was in that. Yeah, but he played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. But yeah, he's the lead. So the new trailer is out, so definitely check that out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed this. Big Sexy, where can they find you online?
All right, just actually sent a tweet. Is that the proper word? Sent a tweet out. Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack. Facebook, Mark Wiggins.
There you go. Mr. Q Storm, where can they find you?
You can find me on The Real, R-E-E-L, Q Storm on YouTube. Just search that on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter, at QStorm3476. I've been running my mouth, and I probably got close to 50 or 60 new followers in the past couple months. and you can find me on Facebook as Michael Jones, or go to my business page, QStorm Media Group.
All right, there you go. Get that realstormwhatever.com, brother. Find us at podcastjuice.net. Please subscribe. Also, of course, iTunes. Shout out to iTunes. Just look up Prince or the Podcast Juice. You will find us. With that, work it like your name is Toby. Good night.